There are some similarities between the Igbo tradition and the Jewish tradition, like the tradition of circumcision on the eighth day. That has been the Igbo tradition even before Christianity. When Christianity came, the first aspect of Christianity, the first religious people that came, the first organization was the Roman Catholic. After the Roman Catholic comes the Anglican churches, before the Pentecostal churches came. When Pentecostal churches came, they started introducing reading the Bible. They started introducing the power of the Holy Spirit. By then, there was a kind of competition between the traditional religion in Igbo land, which is idol worship, those who are worshiping idol. That was a challenge. When we go to those idols, they cannot do anything for you. But those in Pentecostalism will come, take those idols, and the idols cannot do anything to them. They throw it away. When those idol worshippers, their chief priest, started noticing that the idol is powerless compared to the power that this Pentecostal churches exhibit, and they started surrendering to a greater power, the power of the true gospel of Christ.
Welcome back to ISO Insights. I'm your host, Matthew Foley, and today we have a special guest. He's all the way from Nigeria. His name is Brother Judelins Ihetuge, and he is the overseer of a church, school, and orphanage. It's a multifaceted ministry called Jesus Brethren Ministries. They're located in Aba, Nigeria, and that is in eastern Nigeria. And Brother Jude is from the Igbo tribe, which we're going to be talking about today. He's been married for around 15 years, has four children, three boys and one girl. Brother Jude, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Matthew. It's my pleasure to be here.
We had, as I was looking over some of the, and so everyone knows, Jude is a friend of Dave Bird, who we've had on the show two times before. I was looking over some of the notes, and we're going to be talking about different things as far as Nigeria is concerned today, including toward the end, some of the Islamic persecution Christians in Nigeria have went through. But there's some interesting things about Jude and his background. I wanted to first ask Brother Jude, how did you come to know the Lord Jesus? Did you grow up in Christianity? What was your story of faith?
Yeah, when I was 13 years old, my father led me to Christ. I was born in a Christian home, but at 13, my father led me to Christ using an occasion that happened in my family. By that time, my immediate senior sister was going to school. She was trekking to school one early morning on a lonely road. And she was delivered by the Lord from the hands of the kidnappers.
Wow.
Yeah. Men, they hid in the bush where she was when she was going to school. And as she was passing, they came after her and threw a rope on her. The rope actually got her neck. But as God may have it, she was very fast by the grace of God to remove the rope. And the rope pulled her leg and she fell down. And what she did was to remove her sandals immediately and run away. So after that incident, everybody was shocked. My father used that opportunity to call every member of the family, and started talking to us about Jesus, where we would spend our eternity. Because death, anybody can die at any time. My sister, he used that occasion that my sister would have died at that younger age, and that all of us should give our lives to Jesus. And based on that, everybody was sober. I was particularly sober, and I used that occasion to give my life to Jesus. And
Wow. That's amazing. So basically, your father felt like God was giving them this opportunity to talk to you.
Yeah.
Because something really could have went wrong, except for the grace of God.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So is your family historically, because I know from what I looked online beforehand, a little research, that many people in the Igbo tribe have believed in the Lord Jesus historically. Were you guys for multiple generations going back Christians in the family? I mean, everyone has to be born again, of course, but...
Yeah, Nigeria was colonized by the British. Before the British colony in Nigeria, the Igbos, I'm from a tribe called Igbo in Nigeria, and the Igbo is occupying the eastern part of Nigeria majorly. And originally, the Igbos traditionally believed in the God of Abraham. They call it Chukwu Abiama. Chukwu in Igbo means God the Creator. Though traditionally there were some idol worshippers, but those idol worshippers believed that the idol they are worshipping is the agent, intermediary, middle God between them and the overall God that is Chukwu Abiama. Why some does not believe in those idol worship, some believe in talking to the overall God directly. And how they do that is early morning, you see the eldest man in the family, very early morning by 4 o'clock, he wakes up, comes outside, and begin to talk to God. Incantation, talking to God, the overall God who created heaven and earth. And it's called Chukwu Abiama. Abiama means Abraham, the God of Abraham that created the heaven and earth. So by that, it's assumed, and they are still tracing it. There's a theory that my tribe, Igbo, is from Israel. The third child of Jacob, Gad. So that's why that's the origin of Igbos. Though some group have come to Nigeria, come to Igbo land from Israel, trying to make some researches.
Mm.
So that's about the Igbo tribe.
Yeah. So when I had looked up some information about the Igbo tribe, I found that I found a researcher who studied it and went and interviewed many people from the Igbo tribe. This is in 2017. So if I say anything that's a little off from what your family's taught, then let me know. He said that there were multiple different either theories or he said perhaps different waves of people that came from Israel, according to the Igbo tradition. One of them was around the Assyrian exile of the 10 tribes of Israel when the northern kingdom was done away with and Judah remained, and yeah, that many of the God specifically, his tribe left and ended up settling in your part of Nigeria. And another one was that during the Israel-Judah civil war, there was another group that left and settled in Havilah, I believe it's called. And yeah, they didn't have, this was very interesting to me, that group claimed they didn't have the Talmud, but they did have the Tanakh, the Old Testament. So could you speak to that? Does any of that resonate with you?
I don't know much about that, but what I can say is the God, who is a third son of Jacob, had sons, and one of his sons is called Eri.
Mm.
Eri, E-R-I. And in Igbo, there is a particular village called Eri.
Wow.
So it's believed that that son of God came to Africa, and that's the origin of the Igbos.
Mm.
Because there are some similarities between the Igbo tradition and the Jewish tradition, like the tradition of circumcision
mm-hmm.
on the eighth day. That has been the Igbo tradition even before Christianity came in, before the British came to Nigeria to introduce Christianity.
Wow.
So there are other cultures, respect to elders, other traditions, like keeping a woman aside when she is experiencing her period, her menstrual period, for 7 days.
Mm. Wow.
Although there are many other ones to be mentioned, similar traditions between Igbo and the Jews.
Wow, that's amazing. And especially, I know that in Islam, they don't circumcise on the eighth day.
No, they don't.
They circumcise at an earlier time.
Yeah,
which is very interesting, because now science has figured out that the chemical in a male child's bloodstream that helps clot blood is only developed by the eighth day.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting that God told the Jewish people through Moses to circumcise on that day, and through Abraham to circumcise on that day. And the Igbo tribe practices that pre-colonial, before the British. That really struck me. I'll throw this out there. I also saw something about the putting of blood on the doorpost around the time of Passover, that there's a similar Passover tradition, and there's a purification traditions. You mentioned during the woman's period, her going away.
Yeah.
Are there any sacrificial traditions that parallel the law of Moses?
Before Christianity came into Nigeria, into Igbo land, Igbos were involved in sacrifices with blood.
Wow.
Cleansing with blood. Blood of animals, could be blood of a goat or sheep. Igbos do that. And even those that worship small gods, idols, if you, as a child, if you go to such idols, you can see blood everywhere. So Igbos believe more in the cleansing with blood.
Wow.
Which is in line with the Jewish tradition also. Because I believe one of the reasons why God rejected the sacrifice of Cain was because Cain's sacrifice does not have blood, while Abel's sacrifice has blood.
Mm. Wow.
Oh.
The significance of blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you're enjoying this podcast. I want to let you know about a great opportunity. So, International School of the Word, ISO School of Ministry, is an online learning platform, a school where you get affordable, accessible, based off of your schedule, teaching about the Word of God. It's very easy to log into, and we have something called the All Access Pass, which is a subscription-based model. For $99, you get access to everything we have to offer for that full month. I'm talking about over 100 hours of teaching. We're talking about Greek 101, Hebrew 101, Old Testament, New Testament survey. We're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about leading teachers such as Bill Cloud for Hebraic Roots, Perry Stone for Theology and Biblical Studies. I'm talking about Mark Biltz, who talks about, to this day, intriguing Hebraic mysteries of the Christian faith. So, if you want to take advantage of all we have, go ahead, get the All Access Pass for $99 a month. Let's get back to the interview. Yeah, that's amazing. Along with that, I wanted to throw in, so a lot of the traditions, because you mentioned earlier, just for people that are listening, that a lot of people, the Igbo tribe, that do have like an idol that stands as a representative for like this intermediate between the one God, creator God, and then the person interceding and praying. Well, a lot of people, first of all, this is something that happened a lot when the British came in, there was always, they would always look down on the tradition of the people that they were studying and try to separate it from Christianity. But in traditional Catholicism, even, people have icons that represent intermediate saints. Now, okay. we don't believe in intermediate saints, and we can pray directly to God. But the fact that in Judaism, I'm saying for the audience, the fact that God in the Old Testament is constantly talking to Israel about getting rid of idols and then having a direct form of prayer to Yahweh, that shows you that if there is a group of people that leave and settle in Nigeria, they're still going to have a lot of the practices that the Jewish people had before the Second Temple. So it makes a lot of sense. I was stunned. I looked all this up right before we started interviewing. So that's very interesting. Is there any other, like I mentioned, I saw something here about the onyx stone found in, is it Aguleri?
Aguleri, yes.
Yeah. Aguleri. And that it's connected to Exodus 39:6. Could you tell me about that?
Aguleri, like I told you that about Eri being one of the sons of God. So Aguleri is a town in Igbo land, and that's the first place it is believed that the Eri settled. So that is why it's called Aguleri. Wow. Eri settled in that town called Aguleri, and that town Aguleri, they hold the Igbo tradition very, very passionately. And that's the heart of Igbo land, Aguleri. So if you go there, you will see most traditional things, the old things, antiques that are there. So that is why it is believed that Igbos came from Israel.
Wow, that's amazing. So there are all these different connections, and I know that even there was a man named George Basden in 1921. He wrote down a lot of the Levitic, he called it Levitic practices he saw among the Igbo tribe. He was really blown away by that. But I wanted to ask furthermore, with that, what is the history of Christianity being presented? Was it just like a forced by colonial, the colonial British coming in? Did they force people to convert, or did people in the Igbo tribe choose to convert to Christianity because they saw a connection with their traditions?
Thank you. That's a nice question. The British coming to Nigeria, they came in search of business, they came for wealth. They came to search for natural resources. They were businessmen that came to Nigeria. They came from the coast through the sea. And the first place they entered was Igbo. They entered through the west. And then they found oil in large quantity in Igbo land. And they came. They entered Igbo land. But when they came, they were resisted by the Igbos, because by nature, Igbo is democratic in nature. They are democratic. They can resist. They don't agree to anything. In Igbo land, before you do anything, you have to tell them, give them reasons why you are doing that thing. So Igbos are egalitarian society. The elders don't lord things on the community. They organize meeting where everybody will come and brainstorm before they will do what is asked to do. So when the British came, they met such kind of leadership in Igbo, we resisted them. Our forefathers resisted them, and they resisted them by using their gods to fight them. Those idols, they were fighting them, creating all sorts of things, mosquitoes to pursue them. And the British came, later they came with gun. They came with gun. And the Igbos, they don't have gun. They only have knife and sticks to fight with. So when the British came, the Igbos were fighting them. And with gun, before the Igbos will come close with knife, the British man will shoot and kill them. And that was very fascinating to our forefathers. They didn't know the technology behind gun. And so that was why the British conquered the Igbos and started coming in, because before you get to them, they will shoot you. Before you get to them, they will shoot you.
Wow.
So later they now brought in missionaries. They brought in missionaries who came with Christianity. And it is said that religion is the opium of the people. People believe that the reason why they brought in Christianity is to calm down the Igbo people and those that are resisting them, to calm them down.
Wow.
So when they brought in missionaries, they started teaching them not to be violent. They started teaching them not to kill. They started teaching them to accept what they saw. And the aspect of Christianity that came, the religious organization that came into Nigeria, into the Igbo land first, was the Roman Catholic churches from Irish people. So before Pentecostal and Pentecostalism coming and so on. So that was how the Christianity came into Nigeria. It's like it was a force on them. But on the long run, we started reading the Bible and started experiencing God on our own way. But so there's still some in Igbo right now that does not believe in Christianity because of the way Christianity came. They believed that Christianity came to deceive the Igbos so that the white man will go away with our wealth, our natural resources. Some people have that idea behind their...
Wow. So not everyone in the Igbo tribe has warmed up to Christianity because it was used in such a manipulative way by the British to control the people. That's terrible, but unfortunate. How did a lot of people come to Christianity? Were there some that, in spite of the way it was being used to control and subjugate, that felt the presence of the Lord, that God still worked in spite of it to bring some to salvation in Christ? How did some receive it anyway?
Okay. So when Christianity came, the first aspect of Christianity, the first religious people that came, the first organization was the Roman Catholic. After the Roman Catholic comes the Anglican churches. And after Anglican, Presbyterian, before the Pentecostal churches came, when Pentecostal churches came, they started introducing reading the Bible. They started introducing the power of the Holy Spirit. And by then, there was a kind of competition between the traditional religion in Igbo land, which is idol worship, those who are worshiping idol. That was a challenge. Now, when you go to the idol worship, when we go to those idols, they cannot do anything for you. But those in Pentecostalism will come, take those idols, and the idols cannot do anything to them. They throw it away, and when those idol worshippers, their chief priests, started noticing that their idol is powerless compared to the power that this Pentecostal churches exhibit. So wow. They started giving in, they started surrendering to a greater power, which is the power in the Pentecostal churches, the power of the true gospel of Christ. The Roman Catholic did not bring the true gospel of Christ. During that Roman Catholic time, those idol worshippers, they were still powerful. They were still doing their incantation. They were still doing their juju, and they were still progressing. But when Pentecostalism came in with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that Pentecostalism exhibited overpowered the power of the idols. And some of the idol worshippers started throwing their idols away, started yielding to the power of God in Pentecostal churches.
So it wasn't traditions, it wasn't Christian traditions, it wasn't the Catholic Church, it was the power of God that came. And I assume Pentecostalism in the last 100 years. So it's in the last 100 years that this gospel with power has been preached to a lot of the people in Africa, I mean, in South America, in the United States, all over the world. So that is very interesting. So this is relatively recent that a lot of people have come to faith through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people in the Igbo tribe believe they have a connection with ancient Israel, how did this, the power of God coming in their midst and bringing people to faith in Jesus as the Messiah, was there a connection there, or was it kind of two separate things, that tribal tradition versus the gospel being preached and the power of God being shown for the first time?
I think there are two separate things. There are two separate things. The power of God being preached came through Pentecostalism by preaching Christ and letting people know that the blood of Jesus is higher, far more powerful than the blood of bulls that were sacrificed to those idols. So there are two different things. And the power in Pentecostal churches, the power the Pentecostal churches exhibited then was great, that people who are possessed by the devil, people who are possessed by those idols, were delivered from idols. In Igbo land, there's what is called osu. Osu means people who are dedicated to idol worship. People who are dedicated to idol worship, and those people, they don't mix up with other people. They are still Igbos, but they don't mix up with other people. They don't marry. They don't marry other people. They marry themselves. Osu is called, I would take it as outcast, but they are dedicated to idols. So when Christianity came, it destroyed that Osu thing. It destroyed it, and the Osus can now marry other tribes. If you are an Osu, you are an outcast, and you became a Christian, other tribes will marry you. So in Christ Jesus, there is no Jew, no Gentile, no black, no white. So that was what happened. Because before that, if anybody marries the Osu, there will be a chaos in his family. Some will die by marrying that. Some will die. But Christianity, Pentecostalism, the power in the gospel destroyed those things.
Wow.
So they don't have effect now.
Wow. That's powerful. So, you know, my introduction into a lot of the recent spread of the gospel in Africa was through Reinhard Bonnke, hearing a lot about his work and his missions in Africa. So the gospel being proclaimed in much of Africa, but specifically in Nigeria, traditionally in Africa, there are some like older, like in Ethiopia, there's an Ethiopian church there. So there's older kind of like traditional forms of Christianity, but there's also Islam, a lot of Islamic influence that's tried to push into the different nations. Now, historically in Africa, you know, you have a lot of the tribal traditions in specifically in Nigeria, but what is the Islamic presence in Nigeria, in the past? Has there been a large Islamic presence, or is that also recent?
Okay. I will say this. Why the British came into Nigeria through the coast in search of their business, in search of natural resources, they came through the coast. The Muslims came to the north from the east. They came to the northern Nigeria from the east almost at the same time.
Wow. Almost at the same time. Were they being competitive? Were there like the Turks trying to fight back the British? Or was it a different group?
Almost at the same time, the British came through the south, and Muslims were up there in the north doing their jihad and defeating people, introducing Islam there. So when the British came, it was like there was an agreement between the British businessmen and the Muslims in the north. So in the south, in the east where we are, they were resisted. But when the British got to the north, they found out there was already an existing leadership where everybody will submit to what their king said.
Mm.
Autocratic leadership.
Yeah.
Tyranny leadership. So they made that in the north, and the north did not resist them, but they found that there's people religiously that are conquering the north. So they were like united with them. The British did not preach against Islam. They did not resist Islam. They kept Islam. While they were actually in search of economic wealth. They came for economic reasons, not really
religious.
Not really to impact with the word of God. They came for economic reasons.
Thanks for watching this episode of ISO Insights. We're actually going to be following this conversation up with the next podcast episode being a part two, where Brother Jude will go into the details of how Islam has dominated Nigeria since centuries on before our present day. With that, I want to mention something to you. Brother Jude and his family are serving at a ministry, we mentioned it before in this episode, a school, an orphanage, and a church. And if you feel led to get connected with them and to give something, I'm going to give you a link here. And there's also going to be the same link in the description, as well as a PowerPoint presentation link that will show his family to you. Now, another important note I want you to pray over before this next episode comes out for the podcast is that Brother Jude is praying for his family and actively looking for a way for them to get an extended visa into the United States so that they have a more long-term solution to find safety. This next episode in 2 weeks will be covering the persecution of Christians by Islamic extremists in Nigeria. Please do watch it and learn more about this current situation. Also, please keep Brother Jude and his family in your prayers that God would help them find the solution they need. Please do catch us next time on ISO Insights.